Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, today's story is from Jeffrey Schnorr.
I live in Boynton Beach here in Florida in one of the 55-plus communities in the area. I practiced mindfulness meditation for many years. I'm self-taught, having read several books by authorities in the field, and for at least 2 years, I meditated with a group every Sunday evening. Now, as anyone who's practiced mindfulness and its variants will know, the object of the exercise is to keep your mind in the present moment, not just during the exercise itself, but ultimately during your day, every day, as much as possible. In this way, the theory goes, with your mind focused on the here and now, you'll be less subject to the neurotic thoughts that often come with thinking about the past and the future. Eventually, however, I decided to give up my goal of full-time, minute-by-minute mindfulness when I found it to be more of a hindrance than a help in getting through my day. I decided that daydreaming, perhaps more than a focused mind, can often be key to avoiding the minor catastrophes and occasionally not so minor catastrophes of everyday living. Recent case in point. About a week ago, I walked to our community pool for a swim. To have the small pool to myself, I arrived very early in the morning, right after I took out the dogs. In the pool area, I placed my things on the table and I proceeded to walk the 7 or 8 feet to the outdoor shower, to be immediately followed by a walk into the pool. While taking the few steps to the shower, my mind drifted. Here was my sequence of thoughts, as best I can remember. Thought 1. After my swim, I'll head home, wake Jane, my wife, and we'll drive to our friend's cafe. Thought 2. I won't eat a full breakfast there. I'll just have some fruit. 3. Jane will want one of those whole grain rolls she likes. 4. Oh yeah, we bought some of those rolls at Panera to bring to the cafe because our friend doesn't always stock them. I remember putting the rolls in the freezer. 5. I should really call Jane now to take the rolls from the freezer so we won't forget to bring them. Thought 6. Geez, I walked here in my swimsuit, so I don't have my phone with me. It must be home. At this point, I've turned the water on in the pool, and I'm waiting a few seconds for the water to heat up. So continuing my internal monologue, thought 7. No, wait. It was dark when I walked the dogs, and I remember using the flashlight on my phone and then putting it in my pocket, so I had the phone with me at that point. 8. So what was I wearing this morning when I walked the dogs? Had to be a pair of shorts. 9. Wait, no. When I walked the dogs, I was already wearing my swimsuit to save time. Oh. Thought 10. Hold on. But that would mean my phone is in my swimsuit pocket. At this point, I've been under the shower for about a second. I jump out of the water stream. I check my phone. I see some moisture on the surface, but it's none the worse for wear. Minor catastrophe averted, with literally seconds to spare. Just in the last few months, I was saved from driving from the grocery store parking lot all the way home with a lot of explaining to do when a stream of consciousness eventually led me to the fact that my wife was at that moment standing at the store's entrance waiting for me. More recently, and more seriously, my inner chatter took several minutes before leading me to the realization that I'd left an uncharacteristically quiet dog I'd apparently forgotten about in a car parked in the Florida sun. Now, you may think to yourself, wouldn't living in the moment do a much better job of preventing such goof-ups and disasters than would daydreaming? No, they wouldn't, I'd argue, unless perhaps the object in question was in your direct line of sight. Because mindfulness is all about being aware of your present moment experiences. Living in the moment, every moment of the day, is not all it's cracked up to be.
Jeffrey Schnorr with a story about the benefits of daydreaming.
Yeah, and I gotta say, this is one of the more unusual stories that we've had.
And why was it one of the most unusual stories, Karen?
Here's a guy who contextualizes the story very well and explains to us, and this is not our first story about mindfulness, by the way, about a non-mindful mindfulness person. So he sets up the story and he tells us why. And, you know, we live in this age when everything is mindful being in the present, etc. And he sets it up with kind of what we call an abstract. We're not in the moment from the very beginning. He's telling us what this story is going to be about, and then we're in the moment. And what is the moment? He's at the pool. He's taking a shower. He goes on to take a shower. He doesn't take a shower immediately. And his mind does exactly what he's trying to train his mind not to do. And in a very methodical way, he says, here's how my thoughts worked. Instead of focusing like I'm taught, and I've been a student of mindfulness for a long time, and, you know, we think this is a good thing. It's good for your brain, etc. My mind went all over the place. And very, very methodically, in a very methodical voice, in a very logical way, he takes us through that journey of his thoughts. A story is the sequence of events. This story, the meat of the story, is a sequence of thoughts. And so he is showing us how one thought led to another, led to another, led to another, led to his saving his phone. So, yeah, it is really unusual because so much of the story is internal.
So he was showing us how he daydreams.
Exactly. With another storyteller, the storyteller would have said, I went to the pool and I hung out in the pool and I decided to take a shower and I took a shower and then I looked down and just at that moment I remembered that I had my phone in my trunks and I pulled it out and I saved it in the nick of time. It wouldn't have been a story. That would have been 2 seconds, right?
Could you make an argument that if he was in the moment, he would have known the phone was in his pocket?
Well, that's the funny thing about the story. You could make that argument theoretically, but being in the moment doesn't necessarily mean remembering every single thing that's on your person. If he had totally been in the moment when he put the phone in his pocket, perhaps he might have remembered it when he got to the pool, but he might have been in the moment feeling the concrete below his feet. He might have been in the moment smelling the chlorine. There are many ways that he could have been in the moment other than feeling that phone.
So Jeffrey is trying to find a balance. He was too mindful.
Well, I don't know if I would go there either. I'm not sure. I think that he didn't do this on purpose. And I always tell people, you know, just tell the story. Let us come to the so-called moral of the story, because everybody's interpretation of the story is different. But I think the irony for Jeffrey is he's been trained mindful. But if he had been under that shower, and if he had been focusing on the spray, and if he had been focusing on the smell of the water and on the wet trickling down his arms and on the cool and everything else, his phone would have been ruined. And it was because he went through. So while I'm listening to this story, I'm thinking, this is really unusual. But remember, we always say that the way a story is told tells us as much about the storyteller as the content of the story. And this really is a case in point, because we've got this methodical voice, very nice, very balanced, a very easy radio voice, taking us at a very nice rate through the story, very balanced in every way. And then he's counting his thoughts, one, two. Instead of saying, I thought this, and then I thought that, and I thought that, and I thought that, he's telling it in a very methodical way. And here's another beautiful irony of the story. You would think somebody so methodical would not necessarily be sitting daydreaming about Panera Bread and all of this stuff. And by the way, the detail of bringing the Panera rolls to the cafe. I just love that. You know, these are people who are so responsible and so good to their friends and cafe owners that they actually pick up the rolls that they're going to eat at the cafe. I thought that little detail was just so charming. And we can't say mindfulness is good for everybody because it would have ruined Jeffrey's phone.
Meditation, yes or no?
Completely. I do it twice a day.
Karen, well, thanks for bringing that story in. If our listeners would like to share their story, how can they get in touch with us?
Please email me at cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu. I don't need a synopsis. I just need you to say you're interested, and I'll send you instructions.
We also have information on our website, archive stories as well, wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is an affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.